Hello, this is astrologer Shelley Antine, and I have decided to do a separate podcast with a brief look ahead at 2024, and I'm doing it while Mercury is stationary. Oh dear. Well, there may be a mistake or two. Usually I catch them when I make them, but we'll see what happens. But it is, first of all, going to be an extremely powerful year with a very different feeling. And some of us will rejoice over this because we have 2024 adding up to an 8 year. And we've been in the 7 year, and it is very Neptunian and fluctuating and all of those things. But we go into this 8, which is a Saturn year. It's the exact opposite. But it's also a year that is focused on achievement and action towards goals and finding out how to make your good karma manifest and how to clear the negative karma, you know, and finding good methods. Maybe they're new ones, but also what makes this a really specially powerful year is that it's the year of the wood dragon. So you combine the power of the dragon, which is considerable, and you add that to the number 8. And, you know, this is, again, going to be a very different feeling that comes in on 2024. Now, astrologers have been looking at certain things for a while now. We know in advance, because we've got this book that shows us, that things are going to happen. And when we were looking at this year, there are certain things that are happening that are standouts. I mean, there's always things happening every day with the planets and the moon and all of this. But standing out is, once again, we are coming through into 2024, and we have Capricorn, Pluto, but we are going to have Pluto go into Aquarius again very, very early. And it is, you know, mainly not the time yet till next year that Pluto goes into Aquarius for its long haul. We're just getting a couple of dips in again, but more. And it goes a little further up than it did the first time it took its little dip in. So we've got, in January, Pluto entering Aquarius once again. So, you know, we have got this time frame from January 20th, where we are going back to the early part of what we were experiencing. And it gets up higher in retrogrades in Aquarius on May 2nd. And then it goes, dips back into Capricorn, but only to the 29th or last degree of Capricorn. It doesn't go any further down. And then it goes direct there. And when it goes direct on in October 12th, it will go into Aquarius on November 20th. And then we have the long haul of the Pluto in Aquarius coming in. It's going to be there, once it's there, until 2043. So what this means for all the cardinal signs, Aries, Cancer, Libra, Capricorn, who've been dealing for many, many years, since 2008, really, with Pluto in Capricorn, now you get a different group that has to deal with it. It's the fixed signs, which are Taurus, and Leo, which is the opposite of Aquarius, Scorpio, and then Aquarians. Now, those are the areas that will be dealing with the more challenging, shall we say, aspects of Pluto, which is there to do some kind of transformation. That's one of its plans. That's what it wants. Now, one of the things we know is that Pluto in Capricorn was and has been for all those years since 2008 in the sign of governments and corporations, among other things, public life and traditions and the consensus mind of what people agree to. And so we've seen a lot of plutonic upheaval, but also power issues, megaton, I hate to say that because it is nuclear, power issues that are going on in not just the United States government. I mean, Pluto's in Capricorn for the world, you know, not just us. Of course, we have had a Pluto return in the chart of the United States. So it became very intense here. And when we come into 2024, we may find out by the end of 2024 whether we still have the country that was founded in, you know, 1776. So, you know, this is very crucial to know that Pluto going into Aquarius is going to take us out of that. Now, one of the things that Pluto in Capricorn, Pluto is about major wealth. And so we've also seen that affecting governments and corporations, right? All of that stuff has made major impacts on us in different ways, and we can't get into it too much, but you know, and you can see that what will happen is now this power and the sense of upheaval also now will come with Pluto in Aquarius. Pluto in Aquarius, I feel, and all astrologers have different points of view. I mean, this is one of the things that makes astrology interesting, is that there are many things you can say, and there are many things you can see. And Pluto in Aquarius is going to bring a lot of issues of power going into the electronic world. We've already got it, haven't we? But Pluto, big money. All right, so big wealth. Now, that can mean for some people, their cryptocurrencies may start taking off, or it could also mean that big power gets into cryptocurrency, which is something I have suspected would happen, by which I mean that the large banks and the people who want, you know, more control over the cryptocurrencies, because we've already seen a few companies go, you know, and maybe weren't honest to begin with, who knows, but the control of the Pluto energy may want to go there. But also we're going to be seeing like a lot of issues with the AI and with the robotics, because things are starting to malfunction. I mean, this is one of my, you know, favorite sayings right now, is that humans only think from A to B. They don't go to C, D, E, and F, you know, which is why we get stuck with all this plastic that can't be gotten rid of, you know. We need a container that doesn't break. Plastic. Done. No more thinking. Oh, let's do nuclear power plants. Done. You know. No more thinking. So now the Pluto is going to come in here. And what will it do? You know, how will it transform these things? This is going to be very interesting. Many astrologers would like to see the power go to the people, which Aquarius is the sign of the group and the larger group good. Well, I certainly would love to see, and I could envision and empower that idea that there will be more emphasis on your average person and what they need as opposed to, you know, just the building of the wealth and the high positions, which is Pluto in Capricorn, right? So this is going to be a time for us to once again start looking, 2024, at Pluto going through Aquarius. Revolutions have been had under Pluto in Aquarius. You know, we had the United States, but then there was one in France, you know, and stuff like this started happening. There was a change. People didn't want the kings. You know, oddly enough, what happens, you know, the I Ching tells us is that when you do a revolution, you turn into what you revolted against. And certainly Napoleon showed us that. What, suddenly he's an emperor. You know, okay, get rid of the royals. But now, you know, we have to watch this human nature and factor that in and realize that, you know, we can have the highest goal. But we've got to maintain the highest goal and not let it fall into something that, you know, we were back in a feudal society a long time ago. Maybe we were always in a feudal society. We just didn't have, you know, royals. We started having heads of corporations and things like that instead. So we're going to see big, major shifts and changes. And so we're going to get those periods of time when we get to look at it again. And if you have the planets that get challenged in the signs that are only going up to about 2-3 degrees, or you might feel it with a 4-degree or 5-degree planet in one of those other fixed signs or Aquarius, then you will get, you know, that experience mainly on the back end, the one that comes in November. And so the other air signs will, Gemini and Libra, will be happier with Pluto aspects, and so will the fire signs, except for Leo, because that's the opposition to Aquarius. So we're looking at Aries and Sagittarius will be more likely not to suffer under Pluto aspects while it's in Aquarius, okay? So, and you people who have those planets right at the end of Capricorn will keep dealing with that during the retrograde cycle. So this is your first thing you need to know. Neptune will stay in Pisces. It's going to be in the final 5 degrees of the sign. And so here you have the Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces people and planets being affected, if you have late degrees, last 5 degrees of those signs, by Neptune aspects in a more challenging way. Because things, you know, it causes us in those signs to have to think more about grounding. We can use Neptune if we can to be creative and be inspired and, you know, focus on spirituality and that kind of thing. But it's also dissolving for us. You know, as I've mentioned many times, Saturn will remain in Pisces, and Saturn is structure, and in Pisces, which is ruled by Neptune, these things we've been going through with the challenges for everyone have to do with the things we rely on, which is Saturn, to be there for us, and, you know, seeing the dissolution, the dissolving effect, which is causing anxiety. It's anxiety provoking for us. So this is what Neptune's doing. And Uranus is going to be in the last 10 degrees of Taurus, which affects the fixed signs of Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius with challenges if you're in the last 10 degrees, which is 20 degrees to 29. And so the big thing that everyone's been looking for is the conjunction to Jupiter, because Jupiter is moving forward as of Saturday, December 30th, in Taurus. And so it will go further and further. It moves faster than Uranus, so it catches up on the 20th. And, of course, you'll feel it coming in before that. So Jupiter-Uranus is an expanded surprise, like a bigger surprise. And sometimes, you know, if you have a Jupiter trine Uranus or something like that, it's like a big windfall. And a Jupiter conjunct Uranus and Taurus, depending on how it shows up in your chart, can also indicate a big, surprisingly big change in your financial status for the better. You know, so it depends where, you know, what is it doing? What is it affecting? But certainly this is also happening on the global level in both areas of finance, financial concerns. Taurus is a sign that deals with real estate. You know, what will happen? Will it be a change? Will they bring the interest rates down and people will be able to buy homes again? Or, you know, builders will be happily going on and on and on building. I mean, I live in one of the areas of the country that is, I mean, in constant building mode right now. It's really, not going to be the same place. It already isn't, that I moved to 18 years ago. But, you know, what will it look like geophysically also? Because climate change and earthquakes and volcanoes, the ice may be melting, the water, you know, you read the news every day, and as I read the news this day, I saw unbelievably high waves hitting the coast of California. People being swept off the beach, and, you know, but of course the surfers going out to ride it. You know, it's just, this is not normal. This is Uranian. Uranus is a major shift, a change, and it is affecting the globe. So what will that do, the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction? Now, the Uranus-Jupiter conjunction taking place on the 20th of April, I looked at a chart set in Washington, D.C., 10:27 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, okay, in Washington, D.C., and that Jupiter-Uranus conjunction is falling in the sixth house. So if we look at our government, in the working aspect of the government, we are looking at them working on changing something about the economy. Okay, what is the change? I don't know. But we do have Sagittarius rising with Pallas Athena, who's sitting right there at 6 degrees Sagittarius. She is the wisdom warrior, so we may be looking at a lot of truth coming out and a lot of desire to fight for the truth. Pluto in Aquarius is in the second house of values and finance and possessions, so that's there. And so is the Centaur Pholus, which is the lid comes off in Capricorn, and Ceres. You know, she is the fierce mother goddess. She is in Capricorn there also. So there is a trine actually from Ceres to Jupiter and Uranus. So, you know, she's fighting for, you know, people who don't have food, let's say, to be able to eat. You know, this is, you know, it's not a small deal in current affairs. I mean, there's amazing numbers of people who are below in the poverty level of this country and elsewhere also. And some of the benefits being threatened, not just here. I was so surprised to find that out. So you see this, like, the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction here, and, you know, the ideas of this need to find a way. I mean, will the change be beneficial? Will the change be, you know, something that is going to cause a revolution, Pluto and Aquarius? And because of it, Pluto is squared at this point of the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction by the Sun in Taurus, which is sitting in the house of investments and self-expression, and also the house of children. So there are tie-ins. And what we have also happening is a lot of Aries. We start with a conjunction to the North Node in Aries of Mercury retrograde at that moment, and Venus in Aries, also conjunct Chiron, and then that moves up to be conjunct Eris. So in this house of self-expression and investments, there is a lot of heated energy. And so this is going to hopefully bring the North Node into focus, and Eris will be rattling the cage in a good way, and Chiron will be teaching us more how to be good leaders and courageous and not just selfish. Aries can be selfish, you know. I mean, one of the things I thought about this morning was a report on the fact that Taylor Swift is making so much headline news that she became Person of the Year. And one of the things that they didn't mention as much, but they mentioned in this article, was that she gave away $50 million in bonuses to the people who helped her, the workers in her tours and stuff. Now that, to me, is an incredible example of what somebody who's bringing in far more than they need could do. I mean, if Taylor Swift wants to make a major statement at some point that has something to do with the hoarding of money and our deficit, let's say in the United States or in another country, she could do a $50 million gift to the United States economy. And wouldn't that make people start looking a little bit at this whole situation? Because, you know, we are in, you know, completely, I mean, Libra South Node is, you know, those are not balanced scales. And that's one of the things we're learning. And to people please and to not want to rock the boat isn't the way to get things to come into some kind of, you know, can we exist anymore? You know, this is a reality. So at the time of this conjunction, we also have Mars moving towards the conjunction to Neptune, and that's in the fourth house with, very close to the cusp, Saturn and Pisces in conjunction to a centaur called Nessus, which is the buck stops here. So Mars-Neptune. Now that can be a spiritual warrior, but that can also be the bedrock of where we have been having actions that have been under the radar, let's say, not really helpful to everyone, but helpful to a few. And will that be addressed? Now, where is the moon? Well, the moon, interestingly enough, at the exact time of the conjunction, is coming off two aspects. The first aspect that it's coming off is the trine to the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction that was coming in exact on this day. But then there was the opposition to Mars in Neptune, and then the opposition to Neptune at 28 Pisces. So she is now a void of course moon in our public life, in the sign of Virgo. What will we do? What will we do to structure and make things work? You know, I mean, the moon has no more information for us. She's given us all the information that she could to show us or to help us see the way to organize and get things moving. So, and there may be this shock that runs through us. Mars will make the exact conjunction to Neptune on the 29th. So there may be an action also on some sort of a Neptunian issue that has been a plaguing, unseen, dissolving agent. And agent is not a bad word here, because there is some, has been some talk about other countries being overly involved in our government, and certainly having our government affected by things happening in the world. You know, people are being divided, and that is another thing. South Node in Libra, we're not holding to ethical principles in balance. We're emotionally driven, and we take sides, and we don't see the whole picture and apply the whole picture, so we can't have peace. And that is really an important thing to realize. Okay, so that is your that's your Jupiter and Uranus dance. And even this particular year, we will have the shift of signs, as Jupiter will, not very long after, enter Gemini on May 25th. And that will be really a big air energy that goes in, because we will have still have Pluto in Aquarius there. And we will already have, I believe already, have Mercury, Venus, and the Sun in Gemini. So there'll be a lot of mental energy going into, you know, what's happening. And, you know, we may need that, definitely. So what else is going on? Let's see. Anything else? The only other thing that is unusual, and I'm going to mention the eclipses in a moment, because, of course, we're going to have our, you know, our full moons and our new moons, and, you know, we'll have eclipses of the sun and moon during 2024. And I'm going to be doing a talk, I believe I'm still thinking of doing the talk on this topic, for the Asheville Friends of Astrology, the third Thursday in February. So that's where I usually give out my predictions and use people in the news and countries in the news. And I have to say that I've done it for 2 years, and these eclipses have shown what we've been seeing. So, you know, people resist predictions a lot. But I remember predicting, and this was back in last January, that at the last two eclipses for Ukraine, that he would be having trouble getting money from his friends. And at that point in time, we didn't see this. Why? Because we didn't have Israel and Gaza. So, but the eclipses will show you, believe me, it's amazing. So I will mention a little bit about them. But one of the things we'll have this year, we won't have a Venus retrograde. We'll have our Mercury retrogrades, of course, and they will be in fire signs this year. It was all Earth last year. I think I'm right about the fire signs. I'm pretty sure. Let me just see if this was a stationary moment. I'm going to look at the first one. The first one of the year Oh, it's already in December and it is in Sagittarius. I'll look at the one in April because the next one is April, where are you? Oh, the first. Oh, that's going to be a tricky April Fool's Day. April the 1st, Mercury retrograde. Wow, we must really keep on our toes there, right? Let's see. Yeah. Okay, Mercury retrograde. And show me Mercury. They're not showing me Mercury. I'd have to go to a different way to see it. Darn. Mercury. Aries. Yeah, Mercury is in Aries, and that is the fire. So, okay, it wasn't a mistake. You can breathe again, or I can breathe again. And so this energy of fire also gets accentuated when Mars does the retrograde. And it is, let me see, I did write it down. It retrogrades on the 6th of December. It's been in Cancer, and then it goes to Leo, and then it goes back into Cancer, and then it goes to Leo until mid-June of 2025 when it finally enters Virgo. So it has altogether 5 months in Leo, and that's a lot of fire for this planet. But we had one in Aries recently and one in Gemini recently, and those were really difficult to deal with, both of those, in the last years. But Leo, yes, it's a lot of heat, but Leo is not as warlike. You know, Leo is going to be maybe fighting for the family and fighting for the children and, you know, fighting about investment and things like that. It's different in fire. All the fire signs are different, just like, you know, all the other elements have their three manifestations. So Leo wants to, you know, keep the kingdom okay. Let's put it that way. So the fixed and cardinal signs will have the challenges from Mars and Leo retrograding to Cancer and back into Leo. So that is that segment of 2024. And our first lunar eclipse occurs on March 25th in 5 degrees of Libra and at 3 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So you could be awake and seeing that if the shadow is in our hemisphere at 3 a.m., but, you know, you don't expect to see me up. But it's only midnight, Pacific Daylight Time. So maybe you can go out and watch that lunar eclipse. But 5 degrees of Libra, where does that fall in your chart? What aspects does it make? Lunar eclipse, as we know, is coming in for a change in relationship. And not to people, only to places and things. You know, how are we balancing out? And I just talked about balancing out when I talked about the chart for the event of the... Let me just see. I just decided I had to see something here. Well, it's 15 degrees is the south node. So the point that would get more emphasis from the eclipse that would be coming back in and ringing a little bit isn't in the chart for Jupiter Uranus. But the solar eclipse on April 8th, that is at 19 Aries, is exactly where the Venus energy is in the Jupiter Uranus eclipse. Now this, April 8th, 19 degrees Aries, 2:21 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, is one of the eclipses that crosses through the United States. And it makes a diagonal line, and it goes from near the northeast down to the Texas-Mexican border, not far from the Gulf. So that's where it goes. We all remember August 2017 and the complete bisection of our country that came from Oregon to off the coast of South Carolina. And did we see a division? Did we see that grow? Yes, we did. And we saw that eclipse on the Mars of the then president, and we saw more militant behavior coming up. So this now is Aries, and it's 19 degrees. So I will be looking at whose charts in the news are affected by this. But we can know at that time that we're looking at a change in the outer world. So where does this fall in your chart? What is a contact in your chart? That's what you need to know. And, you know, there is a, you know, if you're right on it, like this Venus is in the chart months later, April, well, not months later, weeks later, April 20th, this is something, you know, to know about, because it's going to affect you quickly. If it takes 6 months to affect you, it'll still affect you in some way, but and in the house where it falls, that's where you'll see the change in the world. We have the lunar eclipse coming up again September 17th, and it dips into the next of the nodal signs. We're going to start out with the lunar eclipse at 25 Pisces. So we're coming into the North Node in Virgo and the South Node in Pisces. And, well, we won't get to the node shift in 2024, but we will be getting a prequel in the lunar eclipse at 25 Pisces. So where is that in your chart? How does it affect your planets? This is, again, about relationships. It happens at 10:34 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So, once again, if it's, I haven't seen the, I've been looking at the map of where this is being seen, but it's possible, if it's in the Northern Hemisphere, that we will see it in the United States. So we've got the potential for three eclipses to have a shadow over the U.S., Oh, four. It's possible that the solar eclipse on October 2nd at 10 degrees of Libra, which takes place at 2:49 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, may also be seen in the U.S. But it's the April 8th that cuts a path through that diagonal path. It's you know, it's an interesting one because it sort of goes through the Midland area. And I've been saying myself on the Facebook astrology groups, watch the Texas-Mexican border. This is big. And I think the reason that I think it's big is because they're not handling, and not just this administration, but any administration probably in recent years, the issues of immigration. In general, because there is, it's not just people from Central America that are moving. People are moving for climate change reasons as well as political reasons. And we are going to have to start focusing on how. How do we accommodate and make something positive out of the need for people? You know, I mean, look, the polar bears haven't just drowned. I mean, they have moved on to the land. PBS had a whole show on the polar bears, and the Inuit people were saying, you know, we have never, you know, we didn't know as much as we know about polar bears now because they're here. They're right here on our coastline now. What did we expect them to do? you know? And what do we expect people to do? I remember hearing South Carolina government knew that they would be relocating people from our coastline. And this was some years ago, at least 2 or 3 years ago that I heard it, and that they were looking at how can they create housing and work for people. And that's the point, you know. It has to be absorbed because barring people isn't working. It hasn't been working in our country and in other countries. And people, you know, I mean, I would certainly want to move if I had to, wouldn't you? So, you know, it's not good to have people, you know, standing as some here in the mountains say, we got our rifles ready for them city folk who are going to try to come up here. Yeah, no, I can't see that as an evolutionary direction. I see accommodation somehow. And again, making it work, you know, boosting the economy with it by building these homes and providing more resources so people who come in can be working in those areas that they can be living, you know. So anyway, that's me. That's my point of view. I hope I didn't upset anyone. But that's, you know, to me, the way of the future. And it's not, again, not just here. It's going to be everywhere. So those are the eclipses, and that's the year of 2024. Again, lots of different things are going to happen with the inner planets that move quickly every month, and with lunar events and solar moves that aren't eclipses. But it's good to know. It's good to know what we may be looking at. And one of the reasons I feel that it's good to know is that Jupiter is a sign of spiritual expansion, philosophy expansion, looking for new things, looking for truth. And Uranus is intuitive inspiration. So why don't we vision that the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in Taurus is going to bring us that in relationship to our Earth walk here, which is Taurus, and give us the visions that we need to make things work out and work out in a good way. So that's what I'll leave you with. And I'll go record the weekly astrology forecast for you. And I will say goodbye for now.